enjoyed Sarah Bradley's presentation last night. She's been a blessing to have here. She's going to come sing for us at this time. How many of you received the handout Brother Bowman brought tonight for the service? Anybody? How about this? If you did not receive it, all right, we were going to have to get some out this side of the room. Tell you what we'll do, fellas, as soon as she's done singing, y'all jump on that and get those handouts out. We'll get those. Just ask again, okay? So, Sarah, thanks for coming. Been a blessing. Sing for us tonight, okay? And then we'll hear Brother Bowman. Thank you.
It's a face that I see in the mirror, the one I want others to see. Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me?
Very beautiful, and that's a prayer for each and every one of us, is it not? May the world see Jesus, and may we be that testimony we need to be. Amen. Oh, wait, those of you who have not yet had the handout, please, ushers, when you help me there, please. And for those of you others, please, just go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Good crowd tonight. Thank you for your return, especially when you knew who was speaking. That's a blessing. Thank you. Anyhow, some of you are probably hoping it was somebody else, but sorry, you were stuck with me. 1 Thessalonians. Tonight, what I'd like to do is I would like to speak on behalf of the missionaries your church supports. I would like to speak on behalf of the missionaries that are here in this conference that, God willing, you will support. On behalf of the missionaries that your church personally sends out. There's another layer of responsibility there. Speaking from a missionary to a missionary church on what it means when a missionary says, pray for me. What is the purpose of a prayer card? You know, some people think it's just a type of a business card. You know, we as missionaries, we're very narcissistic. We've got to have a big one, you know. Big picture right on the front, right? Is it a business card? I had one guy tell me he used it as part of his diet program. Yeah. He lined missionary cards across the front of his refrigerator. And whenever he went to the refrigerator, he couldn't open it until he prayed for everyone in the lineup. He said, by the time I got to the end, I wasn't hungry anymore. Okay. I guess it worked for him, right? What is the purpose of a prayer card? Is it one of those subtle reminders? Don't forget to get in your faith promise, right? What is the purpose? Of course, the name kind of gives it away, right? It is a prayer reminder. But is prayer that important? We know theologically the answer to that question. But practically, do we believe it? We come to a missions conference like this, and one aspect of a missions conference is next Sunday you're going to be taking up your faith promise commitment, and that is very, very important. And by the way, that is the answer to the Great Commission. That's the only way you can be in full completion to the Great Commission, full obedience to the Great Commission, is if you're going here and sending here. It's the both that I talked about earlier. Make sure we're doing both. But it's not about the money. It's not just about the evangelism. Because you know what? Your support helps the missionaries get to the field. By all means, yes, of course. That's why they're here getting support, right? It helps to be able to get there and get the bills paid and get the airplane tickets bought and get them on the field, get them established and helps them as they get their funds to start the church and getting things started and going. Your finances, your support helps get them to the field and helps ministries to be sustained on the field. But it's your prayers that helps missionaries stay on the field. We've all heard of missionaries that have left the field for one reason or another. And sometimes some can be very heartbreaking, and some were for good reasons. They moved into different types of ministry or whatever. But some of us have been very easy in churches here. You know, we supported that person for so long, and they left the field. Did we pray for them? If that missionary was on the field dependent on your prayers, how would it well have been done? Oh, how important. I'm going to plead with you tonight on behalf of your missionaries to pray for them. And what does it mean? Let's all stand together as we read just a short text. One of those that's so short we could memorize it tonight. Boy, that would be good if we memorized the Bible verse. Hey, that would be good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Let's read it together in unison. Ready? The Bible says, "Brethren, pray for us." The Apostle Paul. What does a missionary mean when he says, "Pray for us"? Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless this evening. Father, I'm speaking to a good church. One that loves you, loves your commission, is dedicated to the propagation not only of your gospel locally, but around the world. We thank you so much for their sacrifice, their giving, their love. And truly this week, their generosity has already been obvious. Their zeal and enthusiasm has shown. Oh, Father, may I challenge tonight in the area of prayer. May I be a blessing and help. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would allow us now, please, to hear directly from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, when he was writing now this book there to the church there at Thessalonica, he was currently in Corinth, going through and helping to plant the churches there. And you would think the Apostle Paul, being one of the greatest missionaries ever, that's for sure, an apostle, all right, one that was caught up into the third heaven and was able to see and hear and experience some amazing things. The Apostle Paul, one that actually was wrought miracles at different times in his ministry there. The Apostle Paul actually needed prayer. He knew that missions, he knew that church planting, he knew that the work of God was so much bigger and so much greater than just one man or a team. He knew that he needed a prayer, a hedge around him of protection, of guidance, of help. And he begged the church of Thessalonica. By the way, one of those churches of Macedonia that gave, that sacrificed, that did all that they could. One of the former churches that he helped to plant. He said, hey, you know the effort. You know the church planting. You know all the things that took place when I helped to plant your church. Now, I'm in Corinth right now. It's a carnal area. It's a carnal church. Please help me. Pray for us. But it's prayer effective. Some of us are so guilty with the shotgun missionary prayers. Lord, bless all them missionaries. I hope to help them. Is that effective? Will that help? Does that fulfill the purpose? What I would like to do tonight is I would just like to be able to help you to understand a little bit about, from a missionary's perspective, what he needs. That's the reason I went ahead and typed some of these things out and gave them to you. I want you to take these notes, and I hope you take more notes than just here. But if you have to walk away with nothing but just the 5 points that's written there, that's great. Put these in with your prayer list and your prayer time. And let these help to guide you as you start going through your missionary prayer list, as you pray for your missionaries. First of all, let me go ahead and start. First of all, the Bible, I would like to say that you need to pray for their, letter C, courage. Pray for their courage. Paul asked prayer there in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul himself said, I pray for me, pray that I can have the boldness, I can have the utterance. Why? The Apostle Paul was in a Gentile area. At this time of this writing, he was in Rome. He was hindered. He was fettered. And he said, I pray that God will give me more utterance, give me boldness, even as in bonds, that God would help me to have the boldness that I need. He needed the courage. Well, let me tell you, to be able to help your missionaries, be patient with your missionaries when they first go to the field, especially. Because you know what? One of the greatest courage killers is learning a foreign language and trying to acclimate to the culture there. You think of these missionaries here. Many of them have been trained, even some postgraduate training, college degrees, some master's degrees. I have some in Africa with earned doctorate degrees. I have professional people, and they go to the field, and they are physically and mentally reduced to that of a toddler. Learning all over again how to talk. Even trying to learn acceptable behavior. You know, in a lot of cultures, we don't get this much in America, because in America, we are a melting pot, all right, of all types of cultures. You know, the joke is that most Americans can offend at least about 12, 13 people before they even leave the international airport in some countries. Just because, I mean, just our culture is so broad, we don't have anything that's specific. But you go to a lot of these other countries, and you better be very careful. Make sure you only give and receive with certain hands. Making sure that you gesture only in a certain way. And some of you may think, oh, well, I'm going to be able to bless God. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to preach it. I'm going to get... Well, you better watch out. Because you know what? You may know certain aspects of theology, but you better watch your presentation or else you're going to get nowhere. Pray for your missionaries. Those that are veterans, oh my, to try to be able to learn and be able to learn the language there. What a struggle. Or even in my time, my early days there, and when I first went to Africa, I went to language school. A year and a half. And even after that, it took me 3 days to write out my Sunday morning message. I'm deaf in one ear. So it was a little bit more difficult for me to hear it and make sure it was worded and sounded just right. But I would take one day to write out my sermon completely in English, and I would start to translate it. The second day to completely translate it. The third day to go over it and revise it and edit it and to memorize it. Because there's nothing that's more inspiring is for a pastor to get up and to read his text and to read his entire sermon. They say Jonathan Edwards did that, but believe me, I ain't Jonathan Edwards, all right? And I would try to memorize that, and oh, I would get it, I'd work on it. It would be such a labor. I would literally have physical trouble just to be able to get up Sunday. I was so much stress, so much pressure, and I would get up, and I would preach, and I would put everything into it, every Swahili word I knew, and then about 10 minutes long. Don't worry, I won't do that tonight, okay? As much as you would like it. But anyhow, and I would preach, and it was all the thing. And as other church members that would walk a couple hours all the way to church, preaching was 10 minutes long. I said, I don't want to leave again. Walk all the way back. Go preach again. I said, that's all the words I know. Go preach the same sermon again. Courage killers. And by the way, Satan always makes sure his people are there too. Brother, why don't you just work through an interpreter? You'll never learn Swahili. God bless you. You know, we would rather struggle with your English than hear you butcher our language. God bless you too. But they weren't going to deter me. Thank God I had a lot of people praying for me. Churches would send questionnaires. How many souls have you won? How many churches you planted? I'm like, you're kidding me, really? We try to be able to go and preach. And praise the Lord. The Lord continued to help. The Lord continued to bless. Continue to be faithful. I'm just kind of stubborn that way. Just kept on going. Until the point where the man that eventually became the chairman of our deacon there in the town church, he says, missionary, put down the dictionary. Please, you're preaching over our heads now. We don't understand hardly anything you're saying. You're speaking such high level of Swahili. Tone it down. Oh, I remember I went home that night. It's like an incredible burden just dropped. I got up the next Sunday with no notes, shared my heart, and the Lord gave incredible, incredible peace, assurance, and freedom. Courage killers. Oh, pray for your missionaries, please. Oh, it's such a blessing after all these years trying to learn and trying to intensive and finally be able to learn John 3:16 in Swahili there. Let me just let you hear it. Kwamana jinsihi mungu, that's God. Mungu aliupendo ulimwengu. Hata akam toam wanawe peke. Ili kilumtu. Hamwamaniye. Asipote. Bali awe na uzima wamilele. Oh, let me tell you, it's just as beautiful in Swahili as it is in English. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to communicate the Word of God into someone's heart language and hear them respond and see them come forward. And, oh, that's got to be God. It's got to be the Holy Spirit working. You got to pray for your missionaries. Pray for their courage. Oh, even the Apostle Paul, he needed it. Oh, you know, we even read, how can you even get encouraged? How can you get courage? Acts chapter 4, I want you to turn there quickly. I'd like to be able to share a few things with you. Some of you may feel like, hey, preacher, I need some courage. I'm trying to be able to witness. I need some encouragement here. I need that God to give me boldness. How can I get it? Here, I don't have to learn a foreign language. I don't have to learn a foreign culture. But you know what? We all need boldness, do we not? Just yesterday, I was witnessing to a couple guys. Pretty rough guys, all tatted up, look pretty nasty. They're going to eat me alive. They were some of the kindest men. Walked up to him, gave him a tract. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And as I walked away, they opened up and they were reading it. You never know what God's doing in someone's heart. Thank God, God looks on the inside, and when you get the prompt, you better obey. Acts chapter 4. We see Peter and John as they performed a wonderful miracle there. And then they were incarcerated. The people in verse 13, and the Sanhedrin there, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You need some boldness? You need to make sure you get with Jesus. Make sure you spend time in the Word of God. That's why you've got to make sure that you are in church all the time. Anytime those doors are open, you need to make sure that you are here and you are listening. You've got an incredible preacher here, an incredible pastor that loves you and cares for you. And he wants to help to mentor you and help to take you to spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty, and help you to be profitable and successful in your Christian life. Every time the doors are open, you need to be here. Every time you open up the Word of God, you need to have a heart attitude of God, speak to me. I need to be with Jesus. I need to be with Him. Oh, I hope that's your heart attitude. We need to make sure that we're with Him. And when the opposition comes, it can be faithful. As we read there in Acts 4, I closed my Bible and I need to turn back there. Excuse me. And then in verse number 19, but when Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more, whether to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. You need to be able to boldness, make sure that you are with Jesus, and these people in the world can perceive whether you have been with Jesus or not. You don't need to tell them. They can see it. They can perceive it. They can acknowledge it there. But also, even in the face of opposition, you need to continue to be faithful. They try to discourage you. I'm continuing to be faithful. I got the door slammed in my face last week, but that means you go ahead and get some tracks and go this week. Amen. You keep on going in order to be faithful. But how can you get boldness? Verse 24 starts an incredible prayer meeting that they went into. There's many things we can read there. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's right part of their prayer that they prayed, and we have an answer there in verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. We need to pray for it. We need to be with Jesus. Spend all the time we can with Jesus. Be faithful as much as we can and pray for it. Make sure also you pray for your missionaries. Pray that God will give them the boldness, the freedom, the utterance, the courage. Point number two. When a missionary says pray for us, they want you to pray for courage. Also pray for their character. Pray for character. You know, missionaries are just like all of us. You know, some people like to hold missionaries. Oh, missionaries are our heroes. Yeah, we don't think that. If you want to think that, that's fine. But we're just common people. But you know what? We are obeying what God's will for us is. Just like you need to obey what God's will for you is. All right, your God's will for you may be right here to be as faithful as you can in this church, to be an encouragement and help to your pastor, to make sure you win as many people as you can locally to Christ, and making sure that you support as many missionaries as you can to get the word of God all around there, being active as much as you can. That may be God's will for you right here, and God has given you your own support. It's called a job to be able for you to do God's will for you right here. That's God's will for you. God's will for us is to go overseas, and that's fine. We're just like you. We have concerns. And Satan wants to do all he can to disrupt God's work. That's why you better pray a hedge of protection around that man right there. And around his wife, his family. Satan would love to do all that they can to bust up this church. You better pray for your pastor always. Always be sure you're an encouragement to your pastor. Never a source of discouragement. Always an encouragement. Make sure that you everything that you can do to be able to help him. Missionaries are just like all of us. We just have concerns. We have weaknesses. We have strengths. Pray that God will keep them from sin and temptation. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul himself was concerned that Satan could take advantage of him and his missionary team there. Pray for their character. Paul also wanted to emphasize self-discipline in order that he wouldn't be a castaway. He says, if I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That should be a prayer for any one of us, too. As we are making sure that make sure our manner of life be as becometh the gospel, and the whole world is looking at us. We're giving out the gospel. We're witnessing as we should. Amen. But make sure that we don't become a castaway ourselves. Because everybody has somebody watching them. Everybody does. But pray for your missionaries even greater. The pressures on a foreign field especially in a field where the missionaries can't blend in. They're always out in the forefront. People watch them, read them like a book. Sometimes the world and Satan, they love to try to cause problems, and they would try to create incidents just to cause discouragement to the foreigners. Oh, that can go and work against your own temperament, and you can get bitter, you can get angry. And you know, why am I here? They don't like listening to the gospel. I can't even speak in their language. I gesture wrong. I do everything wrong, and they're making fun of me, and I have difficulties. And maybe God's will was misunderstood. That's when we need to make sure that we bear them up in prayer. Pray for their character. Pray that they'll stay focused on the goal. You know, Satan likes to get us sidetracked, does he not? Have you ever noticed when you ever try to do something for God, Satan's trying to get something on the side going? Try to get you distracted over here, looked over here. Repairs on the home, especially if your missionaries are in a third world country. Oh, my. We're trying to get things fixed. So it seems like the majority of my missionary career was spent fixing things. Fixing the home, fixing the vehicle. My wife was consumed with the homeschool and trying to do all that she can with our children and helping with ladies' meetings and trying to get along with them. And trying to work on the language and acquisition of the culture there too, all at the same time. And we're both trying to help our children to love the mission field and try to get all that taken care of. You need to pray for your missionaries, for their character, because Satan wants to sift them as wheat. Because he knows if he can take down a missionary family. Think of all the churches it impacts. Think of the impact on the field. Oh, pray for your missionaries, please. Pray for their courage, their character. Pray for, number three, for their care. For their care. When I am counseling a missionary family, especially when they're getting ready to leave for the field, they've done with their pre-field ministry and they're getting ready to go to the field, I sit down with them and I try to be able to help them to understand some of the things that they will face. And I will admit to you that typically your first term is one of the most memorable, but it's also some of the most challenging. You know, every time that we go out and serve the Lord in any capacity, we, as Christians here, we are on the front lines. Do you realize that? Never do ministry at all without the realization you're on the front lines. Make sure your armor's on. Remember Ephesians 6, it says to put it on? Make sure we put it on. But you know what? Missionaries are not on the front lines. That's us here. Most missionaries are like the paratroopers that got sent behind enemy lines. They're in areas that Satan has had in his territory for generations and generations and generations, and Satan does not give up territory easily. You pray for your missionaries. And I try to tell them, you know what, when you go to the field and on that first term, things are struggling, things aren't seem to be working right. I want you to realize they're not supposed to. Just like the paratroopers, they're told when they jump in, you've got to learn to adjust to the surroundings there. And everything that you meet is a potential enemy. Satan is always there. So, preacher, you're scaring me. I wish I could in some ways. For us to realize the importance of the spiritual battle. So many Christians today go out with their spiritual armor off. And we wonder why we give in to temptation, why we struggle in sin, why we're easily discouraged. How much more your missionaries on a foreign field. Oh, please pray for them. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. It's a good prayer for your pastor, too, for you to pray for your pastor. You know, pastors are a lot like first responders. All they deal with is problems many times. That's why you always need to make sure that you're an encouragement to your pastor. Be sure to care for them. Pray for your missionaries, for their care. Some missionaries are in some very difficult circumstances. All of them are to some degree, but some are in more difficulty than others. Some are dealing with circumstances where, like I said, Satan has had that territory for a long time. They're dealing with witch doctors. They're dealing with voodoo. They're dealing with all kinds of wickedness. Even some of the people that get saved are just one generation removed from absolute debauchery. There's a lot of baggage that comes in. We need to pray for their care. Even the Apostle Paul, he struggled with this. The first missionary journey, he just went over the mountains to from the areas where he grew up and then to Sicily where Barnabas was from. But the second missionary journey started going to Asia Minor. Some other areas further out. And you read there in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." I tell our missionaries, even Paul went through culture shock. Yeah. Pray for your missionaries as they go through there. And also pray for their support. You realize missionaries have to completely live by faith. We're living by faith for God. And if every missionary is wise, they would realize that their source is God Himself. The source is not the churches. The source is not individuals. Your source is God. Amen. Now, if God channels that through different churches, praise the Lord. But your source is God. But you know what? From month to month, most missionaries have no idea what's actually going to come. They'll have a general idea. But some months they could have the adequate support, and then some churches just didn't get it in. They weren't able to. Some churches have struggles. And if you have a missionary, if you read missionaries and see the missionary list of their supporting churches, any number of them could have problems, financial reversals, pastor leaves, deacon board has a problem, church split. Pray for their support. Pray that God would continue to help and to supply their need. Paul had his own supporting churches. Imagine having the Apostle Paul on your back wall. Well, who does your church support? Well, our church supports the Apostle Paul. What about yours? You have no idea about the missionaries that are on your wall. You've got some great missionaries that your church supports. Are they like the Apostle Paul? I don't know. God will let us know about that later. But I guarantee you've got many of them that are just as surrendered. Their heart is just as open for God. And they're passionate about serving Him. Paul. He wrote to the church at Philippi, which was, once again, one of the churches of Macedonia. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." It seemed like their support stopped for a while. Then it was taken up again. For he writes also, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." And Paul had struggled with that. But Paul had to realize his source was God. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for their care. That God will take care of all the little necessities of life. And that'll help you to make sure that you are faithful in what God has wanted to work through you. Pray for their care. Also, pray for their, number four, pray for their children. How many of you know Satan doesn't play fair? He'll attack anywhere. You know, man, Satan will do all he can to bust you up and to cause you to try to get into sin. He'll try to ruin your testimony. And if he can't ruin your testimony through sin, what he'll do is try to get you to delay to serve God. Well, why this soul winning thing? Well, why don't you try that a little bit later on? Well, why don't you try that faith promise thing, try to do that tomorrow? Well, why don't you try to serve God a little more? Well, all that extra effort and all that, do that a little bit later on. Do it tomorrow. Do it next year. And pretty soon, as you keep on putting it off and putting it off, you realize many years later what you could have done. Satan is so conniving. But if he can't get you, he'll attack your family through your wife, perhaps. Or through your children. How much more on the mission field? Pray for a hedge of protection around them. Pray for them. That God would be able to help them. We see there in your handout there, I beseech you, brethren, ye know of the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Thank God for that family. You know, pray for the missionary as their family. Pray that God would help them. Pray that God would help the missionary as well as the wife and every one of the children to love the mission field. To love being in God's will. To enjoy serving Him. Say, why? Of course they would. They're missionaries, right? What would you need? What would happen if God would knock on your door and say, I want you? Wouldn't you want someone praying for you and for your family? Oh, how we need to pray for their children, their family. Lastly, pray for their churches. Pray for their churches. By that, I'm meaning their ministries. Pray that God would give them open doors, is the verse it says right there in your handout. Pray that God will give them open doors, open opportunity. Pray that God will give them clear direction. We think of Paul struggling to know where exactly to go in the next step, but the Spirit suffered him not. He couldn't go where to go. He prayed for direction. We have the famous Macedonian call, come over and help us. God helped to give him clear direction. There's missionaries I'm counseling right now, struggling with direction. Especially as we hope, the tail end of the whole COVID situation, we don't know all of that. Countries that are closed, restrictions there, ministry not able to perform. Why am I here? What am I doing? Praying for direction. Pray for open doors. Pray for direction. Pray for grace for them. Even the Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, besides all those things, and all the things he mentions above, some of the weariness and the painfulness and so forth that he had to endure, besides all those things that are without, that's what cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Any missionary worth his salt, his heart is broken constantly about the surroundings that are around him. Cities all around, millions, no gospel witness. You feel like a drop in a bucket. What am I doing here? What's my purpose of here? The care of trying to be able to put everything in where it all needs to happen. And then also, if you're especially in a third world country, there are always needs that come up. Other needs, physical needs, ailments. And there's a care that that missionary has for the churches that are there. Pray for him as he tries to minister for all of that. There's a pressure that's there. He wants to do all that he can to represent your church on the mission field. Yes, he's representing God, yes. But he's also, you have deputized him to represent you. He wants to honor God, and he wants to be the right representation. There's a burden that's there. You sense it a little bit in some of the deputation missionaries. Some of them have spent some time on the field. Some of them haven't. But they do have a heart and they have a desire. Will you pray for them? I hope in some small way this little list that you received can somehow help you to be able to understand what a missionary means. I hope you can't look at another prayer card with the same thoughts you had before. God, please help them. Give them the courage, the boldness. Please help them through their character. Pray for their care, their children, their family. Pray for their churches, their ministries. And may God be exalted. May He be glorified. And may we do our part. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You now for our time this evening. Oh, Father, I hope my sermon, Father, tonight that You've laid on my heart, I hope the passion did not come across as harsh. Oh, Father, I have a love and a care for so many. We've seen so many good people go. Some return. Some tragedies, some heartbreaks. And, oh, Father, none of us wants to be a castaway. And I pray, Father, some of the small things that I've mentioned tonight will be used, Father, in the hearts of these dear people to understand the importance of intercessory prayer as we pray not only for one another, pray for ourselves, pray for our pastor, but also pray for our missionaries. That You would care for them, bless them, and help them. Oh, Father, I don't understand all the workings of intercessory prayer. But, Father, You did it. And You asked us to pray also. And I pray, Father, as we open up our hearts and yieldness to You, that we would also bring our brothers and sisters before You. And that we would pray that You would bless and help just as much as we pray for Your blessings and Your helping on our life. I pray, Father, that You would work and You would do a marvelous thing through Faith Baptist Church and their missions program. Help us not to see any casualties, any castaways. Help us labor together with You in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all quietly stand. Invitation time. I don't know how the Lord has led you or spoken to your heart, but as soon as she begins to play, just respond as the Holy Spirit has led you.
Amen. Very, very helpful tonight. At the end